We're going to have a little discussion. This is a discussion between two elders in a local church trying to figure out how stuff works. And Dave's very honest. He's very legit. And if you've spent any time with Dave, you know he doesn't play games. He's fun. He's enjoyable. And he drinks beer. But his walk with God is super serious. He doesn't play games. You want to know what he's thinking? You want to know what he's working through? He'll tell you. If you're working through something and you want some wisdom, good guy to go to. That's what I've been finding. So I'm working through something, Dave. And are you on there?
I'm live.
I'm working through something. I was raised, got saved in a very traditional country church, much smaller than this, very, very fundamental, an IFCA church. You guys know of IFCA? Independent Fundamentalist Churches of America. Independent Fundamentalist Churches of America. Stands for I Fight Christians Anywhere. That's a joke. Because they were so narrow in their view and their what works and what doesn't work that everybody was bad. I fight all Christians, you know. Then I went to a very conservative fundamental school who taught that all the gifts of the Spirit, especially the sign gifts, don't exist anymore. They went away once the Bible was created and printed. Then we had it. When that which is perfect comes, those things are no longer needed. We have the Bible, we don't need that anymore. How many know the Bible ain't perfect? And I'm not saying in its original writings. I'm not saying the writings that God gave us. I'm saying that our Bibles are a translation of a translation. Our Bibles, unless you're reading a Hebrew Bible or you're reading a Greek Bible, you're reading a translation, right? And we all know that. So a lot of what we know from what people are telling us the Bible says. Hopefully you've learned how to do a little bit of Greek study and get out of what people say and try to do some study for yourself. But I was taught these gifts don't exist, and I believed that for a little while until I started seeing these gifts happening all the time. So I'm traveling as a Christian in Europe, in India, in Asia, and I'm seeing these gifts happening. People get saved, they speak in tongues. What? Boom, they get saved, they speak in tongues. Nobody told them to speak in tongues, they just do. How is that happening? That's demonic, right? I see people get saved and pray for somebody with a broken leg and get healed on the spot, or with cancer, get healed on the spot. I've seen that so many times. So I wasn't open to these gifts for all these years, but I saw them everywhere. And then I started studying it and went, I think my seminary was wrong. I think it wasn't teaching me right. Well, that's tough when you start questioning the guys you love and you adore and you admire. Well, I think they made a mistake there. Now I believe in healing. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, the gift of prophecy. Why? Because I see them. I see them all the time. So how to use those things properly? I think the Bible gives us good instruction in 1 Corinthians 12, 14, very, very clear. Romans, some other places, very, very clear how to use these gifts and how not to use them. Well, we've been experiencing healing. We've been experiencing praying for people and watching healing happen. Now, again, that's not supposed to be happening because those gifts are gone. But we saw Don healed right here in our midst. Remember the eye thing, Don? Your eyes are better, right? And you were afraid that you were feeling a tear in your retina. And that didn't happen. And we've seen other things. And then our nephew cramped up for 16 months. And they said they'd have to fuse his spine. And Betsy just laid hands on him and prayed. And he was jumping around and laughing. And he still is to this day. That's been a couple years. A couple years? How long's that been? Yeah. So we see this kind of stuff happen in our walk with God. But what's the frustration? What's the big frustration that you experience with this?
It's just that it doesn't happen all the time. So we see healing happening, and we bless God because of it. It's only through the power of Jesus Christ that those healings have occurred. But why is it not happening all the time? Why are we not able to access that power of Christ on a continuing basis over and over and over again? You mentioned when that becomes perfect, then the imperfect passes away. I believe that's when Christ returns, because Christ is the only thing that's perfect, the only one who's perfect, and Christ hasn't returned. So I believe those gifts are still here, and yet somehow we have not been able to understand that. I know that here in America, Western theology and, you know, all the seminaries, and they teach us what they believe is the truth, but what I've come to understand, I think, is not necessarily the complete truth. I think there's aspects of the truth in everything that they're teaching us. I know the Bible to be true, and so I go to that to find out what does exist and what doesn't exist and what is true and what is false, and I find that healing is there. I see it experientially throughout the world, throughout my life, and yet somehow I'm not able to tap into that all the time. Through some of the stuff that I've done most recently, I find that it seems like it's an issue between belief and unbelief, which is why I had Mike write that into our book of remembrances, or our book of answered prayers, because we believe. We know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We know that we have power in His blood, because the Bible tells us that we have power in His blood. That as Christians, as we believe, as John 6 says, what is it that we're supposed to do in order to be saved? To believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To believe that He is God. To believe that He died and rose again, the first to rise again. And as a result of that, we are, in fact, seated at the right hand of God the Father even today. When God looks at us, He sees us through Christ's blood. It's an amazing thing. We are covered in Christ's blood. We are made perfect in Christ's blood. We have the same power that Christ has here today because of Christ's blood. Why is it that we don't always access that? That's my question today. And it's what I've come to understand at this moment in time, because understanding changes all the time. That's the one thing I have learned in life, is that where you were 10 years ago ain't where you are today. And if it is, if you're where you were 10 years ago, then you're not growing in whatever way that is. So change should be happening in your life. New information should be there. But we need to figure out what this unbelief thing is and how to kill it. I want unbelief in my body dead. I want it gone, put away, eternally buried, so that it's far as the east is from the west, as Christ tells us. Our sin has been separated from us. We need to claim that. We need to understand what that is and live in total belief and kill the unbelief. And I just don't know how to do it. So Mike's telling me this morning, he's getting a word from God, and it's just, what? You don't believe me? Of course we believe you. Well then, just do it. Believe. You don't have to unbelieve. Just believe.
Are you hearing this discussion? Have you had this in your own head? Have you had this with other people? The reason we're doing this right now, I want you to know, God bless you. I want you to know that we, as a couple of elders, you know, we got Dawn and then our wives and all that, but as a couple of elders, we don't have all the answers. We're not even close. And we want to work this through honestly, candidly, and we want your prayers and we want your input, because you might have input to this that will help us. God may be speaking to you or through you. Please fill us in, because this is the body of Christ. And I think He wants us to understand this, we, the body. I think we're on the cusp of learning something, you guys. And it's where I believe the church ought to be, a place of authority, power, transformation. The world is only getting darker. It's only getting uglier out there. We're only going to see more needs. I want to be ready. I want to have my guns loaded. I'm ready. And I want to have it loaded with power. I want to go into this battle fully ready. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to need to be touched, healed, set free, demons cast out, a word from God, a specific word. And we're the answer, you guys. If you let the Spirit flow in you and through you, not just purveyors of this idea of Christ, not just seven sons of Sceva. We're all in. We're real Christians. We want it all. Why? So that we can give it all. We want it all so that we can walk in it. We want to help people be whole, be healed, be holy, and be happy. And that only comes from Christ. It only comes from Christ. Well, we feel like there's a missing piece. We don't understand why we don't see healing on a more regular basis and a more authoritative basis or whatever. What's the word?
Yeah, no, it is with authority. It is with consistency. It is
consistency.
With power. And I don't. And so my prayer this morning in our prayer group before church was that we would be able to find that power, that we would be able to love each other the way Christ loves us, to be able to share His grace, His power, His healing with us. And I still don't know why it doesn't happen all the time. It's Mike's word is something that I'm going to be pondering and praying about and looking into, because I think it may be just as simple as, what? You don't believe me? Seriously? You believe me for your salvation. You believe me for your eternity. Why is it that you don't believe me for everything else?
For everything I've promised you, for everything that I said was part of the atonement. Why don't you believe what I said is true? I do, but I knock it off. And so I thought it would be a good idea to bring you all into this discussion and do this very publicly and openly, because it is the discourse of the church right now. You know, it's what God is doing in us. And we're His body. We're His people. Join the discourse and understand that it's an open discussion and an ongoing discussion. And we want to see answers. We want to see new insights. They're going to probably come from you, most likely. And we're listening. And we as a church want to hear this. Lord, help us. Help us understand. And so know that you'll be hearing us talking about healing and gifts more often, because we're troubled that we're such babies in this part of our walk. But we are. And we're just being honest. You know, we're just learning. And I don't think church leadership, our job is to know everything or to be fully mature. I think our job as church leadership is to be honest, be open, and to serve. And so I think it's most serving to share with you our struggles or our concerns and us do it together. I think that's most healthy. I will say this as a side note. Betsy's farther along in this than I am. In some natural way, she has a childlike faith that's way beyond me. And so I look to her and go, well, how is she doing that? How does she get that? And she has said to me something just as simple as what I feel the Lord was saying to me, just a reiteration of Betsy. Well, you've said basically that I just believe. That's it. You said it in our prayer this morning. I don't know. I'm just going to keep believing. So I don't have a 100% track record in any of this. I still believe it all, and I expect it all, and I'm not going to stop. And I would say to all of us, don't stop believing. Hey, I can start a band. But don't stop believing at any point. Don't stop expecting. Don't stop hoping. And our hope as a Christian, our hope isn't hope like, I hope that happens. It's, I believe in Christ. He's promised it. I can't wait to see it manifest. Hope for a Christian is way different than hope for a non-Christian. Anybody want to put some input, any insight come over you while we were talking? Did God check in? Anybody? What? I'm not saying nothing? Is that what you just said? What? I got this mic for you.
And don't say that. He was trying to heal a particular situation, and they had 100% belief that they could do it. They know they knew they had the authority of Jesus to do it. They did it, and nothing happened. And they went to Jesus, and they said, why couldn't we heal him? You know, what's the difference? And he goes, this can only come by fasting and prayer. So some healings has to come by fasting and prayer. We don't know which ones. We got to let him guide us. And then also, it speaks in Timothy that if some of you are sick in the body, you take them to the elders, bring them to the elders to be prayed over. If the elders are fasting, like they're supposed to, you know, when they're led to, then they've already got the fasting and they just got to apply the prayer. And so, yeah, exactly. And we're not practicing that. We're not any of that. And so I feel that the prayers that aren't being answered through the prayer chains, those are the ones that we should probably do with fasting and prayer, or bring them to the elder to be prayed and anointed.
That's a lot of responsibility, Betty. Well, that was very insightful. Did you guys think that was insightful? You know, and she's drawing on three scriptures. I think they're all important. Well, you know what would be fun to do is at the end of services, if anybody who wants special prayer would just come forward, and the elders would be here with a little vial of oil. And oil doesn't change anything. Oil isn't magic. That's not what I mean. But it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. That's why they always anoint with oil. Symbolic of the Holy Spirit. But if you come forward, and we would have our little bottle of oil, and we'll keep one up here all the time, and we will be glad. I don't know why it says the elders. It does say that. If you're sick, yeah, call the elders. They'll come. They'll pray for you. It says that. I see it in Scripture. I'm not practicing it. If I want to see God come through, why don't I do what he says to do? So I love that, Betty. And I think we should have oil up here, and I think we should pray and anoint people. The fasting part is not going to happen. I just got off of a 5-day fast, and so fasting's fun for me. I enjoy it. I enjoy doing it. But we need to do that. We need to pray. We need to fast for the results of prayer. Fast for the health of the body. Fast for one another. I mean, it sounds really religious, but it isn't. God's just saying, "Hey, these things work, and why not give it a try?" And so we do it. Oh, there's my anointing oil. Thank you, babe. If you want special prayer for a decision you have to make, something coming up, a physical ailment, a struggle, whatever, we'd be glad to pray for you. And what we're going to do with this oil is just put a dot on your forehead. And I like to make the sign of the cross. And I've done that for years with a lot of people. We haven't instituted anything like that here, but I'd like to. That sound like a good idea? After service, if people want special prayer, the elders will be available for a few minutes after the service so we can pray for specific needs. And at times, the whole body should come and pray. But we're hammering this out. I really appreciate Dave sharing his honest, heartfelt stuff. Is that all right to hear this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
You guys? I mean, shouldn't we work it out together? It should be a family affair. I think it's good. I think it's good to just hammer it out and work on it. Try to be honest and try to be as candid as we can with each other. I really think we're doing good things. I think God is on the move, and I think we're going to see some results by being, you know, open and transparent. I think God's good, right?
When I think about having the belief in healing, I think there's sometimes maturing and like an like emotional skill and time that it takes to fully understand what it is that you're healing. Because so often, you know, we think about wanting the symptom to go away without fully thinking through what it is that truly needs to be healed underneath. You know, we pray for the symptom to disappear, but we haven't really addressed what's causing the outshowing of whatever the pain is, right? So it's a bit of a process, and it takes, I mean, it's simple. It's childlike simple once you get to the point of understanding what it is that you're healing, but it takes layers sometimes to understand what the essence is of the problem, what it is that is actually being healed. And then the second comment I have is around process for the church. You know, I've only been here a couple of months, so take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, my kind of sense is that the elders and the wives, like, you guys have these regular discussions, and you kind of have a group to discuss these things with on a regular basis. And as individuals, outside of, you know, outside of the clique, there's, you know, it's kind of like, when do I get a chance to talk about this except for when I have to have a mic at my mouth and I'm really scared to say anything in front of a room full of people, you know? So it's a really different approach to discussing discussing these issues, I guess, than what you guys probably have in your regular lives.
There we go. Sorry about that. Dave, you don't want to respond to any of that? Any of what she said?
I'm not sure that I got all of it. Again, that's just bad ears. But anytime, any place, I'd be happy. In fact, I'd be ecstatic to pray with you, to comfort you, to assist you, to help you. One of the things, and I've said this many times to several people, one of the things about the grace message that's been the biggest impact on me is I no longer have to walk in trying to do good things, to do what God wants me to do. Because of God's grace, because of God lives in me, I now get to do these things. It's joyful for me to be able to do these things. So to sit down with people, to take their phone calls, to pray with them, pray for them, to share their burdens, to give praise for the things that God has done in their lives is amazing to me. And it is so uplifting to see this happen. And I don't know any body of believers where you've got elders that are more open than we are. So just come.
You
gotta come.
And I'll add to that. Within a couple months, you know, we'll be doing life groups for everybody. Do you know that? Have we mentioned that? We will have life groups, and we hope that everybody's going to be a part of a life group. So that'd be a group of people, about 8 people, that you are open to get to know as deeply as you can. To be transparent, to be deep, to do koinonia, to share a meal with, and to hammer out the stuff we're talking about here. So the meetings that we have as elders on Tuesdays is practicing life group, living in fellowship every day, LIFE. We're practicing it. We're going to duplicate that in your home. And so very shortly, we will launch 3 new life groups. And those life groups will be the place you'll hammer this out. And so there's going to be people there that, as strange and uncomfortable as it can be, will get to know you. And you'll be, I don't want to be that well known. Well, yeah, you do. That's what we're talking about, transparency. And not with everybody, but with this group. And, you know, what happens in your life group stays in your life group. It is a an intimate, protected, safe place for you to hammer out your faith, your theology, to have honest discussions about stuff, and where people can know you, know your needs, know your crises, know your joys, and celebrate together. We don't have that. I mean, we're a small church, so our whole existence is very much a life group. That's the way we function. But as God brings more people to our number, you're going to lose that intimacy. And so we're trying to circumvent that early on and head it off at the pass, you know, as we see it coming, get it now and get everybody to practice koinonia as a lifestyle. You know what I mean? So we see that. I know what you're talking about. I know everybody needs that. I know what we enjoy as elders is very precious and very thoughtful, though. We do what we do on purpose, and we push each other to be more transparent and to be more engaged and to, you know, not miss meetings or whatever, because it's our lifeblood. And we're practicing the very thing that we want to institute in your life, because we believe we see that in Scripture. They went from house to house sharing all things in common. What did they do? Broke bread, prayed, studied the Word, and fellowshipped. We're going to do it. Why not? That's what they did. That's what it says, that God moved that way. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. The next couple months is going to bring some amazing stuff in the life of this body. So, good stuff. Well, it's getting late. I appreciate you guys. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Hulda. I appreciate all of you guys sharing what you've shared. And God's doing wonderful things. Now, we're going to close in prayer. And then, Barry, if you could put on some of that praise music in the background after we pray. And then, and if anybody wants prayer up here, I'd love to be here with my little jar of oil. And let's pray. Let's get some stuff taken care of. Oh, what you said about layers of healing, I got to jump on that. Yes, I believe you're absolutely right. Thanks for bringing that up. Sometimes we want the symptoms to go away. We haven't even asked the Lord, what's this all about, man? Is there something else going on in my life? Sometimes the manifestation you might see has more to do with the fact that you're taking iron and you shouldn't be taking iron, you know? And God gave her a word about taking iron. And so I love the fact that she got at the root cause. And sometimes through prayer, you'll be praying for my knee, and God's saying, wait a minute, it's not the knee, it's the dumb shoe you got. It doesn't fit. And so you're praying for the knee, and you're putting things on the knee. Change your shoes. And God can give you an insight like that. Or it may be a bad relationship. It's causing that back pain. You know, like, what? You're trying to get the back healed, and God's saying, no, heal that marriage. That's what I'm really dealing with. And God will speak in those situations. He does guide us, and that is healing. So I think that's as legitimate a healing, getting to understand that you have a marriage issue, as healing the back. And that's what you were getting at. But I think, yes, don't ever overlook the fact that a lot of these things are just manifestations of deeper issues. I love that. That's brilliant. So, well, let's pray. Thank you. God, we do love you. We thank you. We praise you. We're trying to learn, Lord. We're trying to learn to be better kids, trying to learn how to shine your light a little brighter, trying to learn how to get out of your way and let you have your way with us. We're learning to be the body. We're learning to be transparent and honest with each other and to support and guide and love each other. Yeah, you're teaching us. So I thank you for everything that's happened today. I thank you for all that you're teaching us and for all that's coming, Lord. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven right now, Lord. So we agree with your promises to us. We agree with your word. Help us to walk it out. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now go play.